Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
And I felt mostly overwhelmed, like, what do I do? I'm a dad, and I don't know anything about being a dad.
Good morning, Dad.
Good morning, Jennifer.
When you were in school, did you ever cut class?
Yeah, I guess I did. Sure, most kids cut classes.
Good. Sign this.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, we live in a culture that can seem like it's pretty hostile to our faith at times, and as a result, our kids are in danger of adopting some pretty negative attitudes about some disciplines that are actually good for them, like, well, responsibility, maybe even patience or self-control. Those are words you don't hear very often coming from the world. And yet, in spite of the negative messages children sometimes get, I believe that it is possible for us to show them how to stay positive about the things that matter most, and especially their faith and their future. Well, today on Homeward, I want to talk to you about raising positive kids in a negative world. Pastor and author Chip Ingram is my guest for this important conversation. So keep it right here. It's going to be a great day on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, every graduate student and undergraduate student at APU contributes many, many hours of community service per semester. That results in over 150,000 hours of service locally and globally each year. It's a great place for your kids to plug in and then get involved in the community, as well as actually putting their education to good use. And if you want to learn more about the undergraduate experience at APU, just visit our online resource center if you're not there already. Today on the broadcast, part one of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with pastor and author and dad, Chip Ingram. They're going to be talking about raising positive kids in a negative world. And now with part one of today's program, here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we have a very special guest. His name is Chip Ingram, and we're talking about raising positive kids in a negative world. He's written a wonderful book called Effective Parenting in a Defective World, How to Raise Kids Who Stand Out from the Crowd. I loved this book, by the way. I have read it kind of twice because of reading it earlier and then just reading it for this, and I really love the book. Chip, welcome to our program.
Great to be with you, Jim.
It's great
Thanks.
To be with you. President, CEO of Walk Through the Bible Ministries, a pastor, a speaker daily on a wonderful radio program, Living on the Edge. Married to Teresa, the Ingrams have four adult children and six grandchildren, and lives here in the Atlanta area. We're actually taping today here in Atlanta. Great to have you with us.
Oh, thank you very much.
Anytime I get to hear you or be with you, I appreciate so much all that you are and all that you're doing and such a great influence. And thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Well, with that encouragement, I want you to come back more often. That's encouraging so much.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about raising positive kids in a negative world. And you understand this so well as a pastor, as the president CEO, like I say, of Walk Through the Bible Ministries, but also as a dad. Mm-hmm. And your parenting journey started fairly early in your marriage, in fact, right after the honeymoon.
Right.
Talk about that.
Well, long story, but when I met Teresa, she had two small children. She came to Christ out of a very tragic situation where she was abandoned, and a guy went away with another woman, and she did not know Christ and cried out to God, and her boss led her to the Lord. And so about 2.5 years later, I meet this gal who, out of huge dependency, really loved God, and the last thing I wanted to do was, now I was obviously attracted to her, she was a godly gal, she came to this little Bible study, and I thought she was babysitting. Yeah. And so for the next year, it was like, Lord, you know, help that gal, but I, you know, all attraction was put on way hold, and I was actually playing basketball in South America about a year, year and a half later, and talking to God about, you know, I would really like, I'm kind of ready for a wife, and literally out of the blue, the prompting, well, what about Teresa? Well, I mean, you know, she that's a wife and being a dad, and I've been praying for her for that. And he goes, well, I think maybe you could be the answer to that prayer. So, you know, then it took a whole nother year of, wow, all those implications. We got married, came home from the honeymoon, and I thought, I got to figure out how to have family devotions. I got to figure out how to discipline kids. And I was really careful, too. Even as we got to know one another, I thought, boy, I don't want to set expectations. These little kids have been through a lot. They never knew their biological father. I'm not going to wound this gal. And so it was quite a journey, and I felt mostly overwhelmed, like, what do I do? Now I've got these 4.5-year-old boys, I'm a dad, and I don't know anything about being a dad.
Yeah, and here you start. Yep. And, you know, a lot of us feel like that. I think Kathy and I, we don't have the same story, but when Christy, our oldest, came into the picture, we said, what on earth are we going to do?
Yep.
And interestingly enough, we didn't know how to raise these kids to be God-honoring kids, mm-hmm. and we kind of had to figure that out, and we're still in the process of figuring it out, even though they're, you know, getting through in age. And they do push buttons, and I know one of your sons really knew how to push mm-hmm. your buttons pretty much from the start. What kind of impact did that have on you as a dad? Did it kind of break your confidence?
Well, I think partly broke my confidence, and partly, you know, we don't realize how fearful and insecure we are as parents. And so sometimes that produces a front of, boy, I really know what I'm doing. And son, you know, and I think I tried to win too many battles instead of winning the big war. Now, part of this is, I mean, I had a son who will tell you, I was just downright rebellious. I knew exactly what was right, and I just decided I'm not going to do it. And so he had his issues. But we went through about a 3.5 or 4 year period, and he did not go way outside the moral boundaries, but there was such conflict that when he was a wrestler in high school and a musician, when wrestling practice went long and he was not at the supper table, I felt guilty about, it's so wonderful that he's not here, right. You know, and then you have these terrible thoughts and right. constantly over boundaries and discipline. Yeah. And I praise God. Actually, he's coming down tomorrow. He produced Bebo Norman's last album and wrote a number of songs. So he's coming here tomorrow to play a song with him. And it just is so ironic that the dark days you think you'll never make it through. Right. That God actually has a plan.
Yeah, you know what? That's great hope for so many parents
really
who are in
is.
The midst of that. How did that affect your relationship with Teresa during that time?
We had a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
She is high on mercy. You know, if Jesus came with grace and truth, she'd say, Chip, you got the truth down. I may have the grace down. And I think for our kids, it was a great combination. But a lot of times, both in tears and sitting up in bed at night, really processing, you know, was I too strong? Really, I think you were. Well, honey, we told him these are the consequences, and right. we can't budge on those things. And so we hung in there. We kept a united front. But, boy, a lot of cups of coffees, a lot of long walks, a lot of time saying, boy, you know, right. are we really doing what's right?
Right.
It really did. You really hit it. It really shook our confidence. But I had right. to go back to, well, this is what the scripture says, and God, I want to be faithful.
Right. And, you know, there are many, many scriptures that basically promise to us that if we are faithful and if we do the right thing, it doesn't say it's going to be easy, but it does say that they're going to wind up in a good place.
Yep.
Maybe not the place we even thought they were going to wind
yep.
up. And that's actually a great illustration. Again, we're talking about raising positive kids in a negative world. Chip Ingram with us. You have a great line in your book, Effective Parenting in a Defective World, where you say, and it is so true, somewhere in the last few decades, we went from Ozzy and Harriet to Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, the stakes got higher.
Yep.
Parenting is different today.
It is.
Well, yep. Talk about how the culture has changed in many ways.
Well, I think I would probably ask you that question because I think yep. you're way more in touch than me. But I would say living in Santa Cruz, which is kind of the epicenter of culture of California. The joke is weirdness starts in California, then we export it to L.A. and they market it to the world. But I mean, you name it, and that my kids grew up as teenagers there. And so what I saw was the whole removal of absolutes. Right. I saw families where moms and dads lost such confidence. They realized they're trying to be their kid's buddy all the time. Yeah. They want their kids to be successful. So we had these affluent parents having their kids doing a million different things, but they didn't eat together. They didn't talk. They didn't set boundaries, and they were so afraid. I watched so afraid of being rejected by their kids.
Yeah, right.
And all of a sudden, there's no boundaries, and out of the kids' insecurities, the rebellion got worse.
And you see this all the time now with parents.
Yep.
They want to be their good friends.
Yep.
I say to parents, and I say this on the air, you're too old to be their friend. They already think you're too old.
That's right.
They don't want to be your friend. But, you know, our job isn't to raise happy kids. It's to raise responsible young adults. And I would add to love God.
And
it's a process that is not easy, especially in today's culture in many ways.
Well, it is not easy work to raise positive kids in a negative world, but it is possible. And today on the Homeward broadcast, you're hearing parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns in a conversation he recorded with pastor and author Chip Ingram on location at the International Christian Retail Show not too long long ago, talking about that very issue, raising positive kids in a negative world. So glad you've tuned in today to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Lots of resources for you to take advantage of in our Homeward Online Resource Center. And please know that when you go to homeward.com, there's no monthly subscription fee. Everything that we make available there, for the most part, is available without cost. There are some items that you can purchase, of course. Any of Jim's books are available, like Confident Parenting or Teenology or 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. There's a purchase price there. But if you want to look at any of the articles in the media section there, the tip sheets, they're all available without cost at homeward.com.
If you're a parent, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is not for sale, and it has no price. In fact, I don't think there's any way to possibly calculate its value except to say that without it, none of us would ever survive. I'm Jim Burns, and today's Homeward Snapshot is a beautiful picture of a mother giving this precious gift to her daughter, of a father instilling it in the heart of his son. The average human being can last a couple of weeks without food, that is, as long as there's access to water, but I challenge you to live even one moment without hope. As one psychologist put it, hopeful children are positive about the future because they have overcome problems in the past and they believe they can do it again. I hope you'll log on to our website at homeward.com and download a free copy of a brand new article I've written on this important subject of hope, because the ministry of Homeward is committed to encouraging parents and building families. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Chip Ingram with us. Man, I'm smiling today. It's great to have Chip with us. Raising positive kids in a negative world is what we're talking about. He is the president, CEO of Walk Through the Bible Ministries. He's a pastor, speaker, one of my favorite speakers, actually, and it's just such a pleasure to have him talking about parenting issues. He's written a wonderful book, as Roger has talked about, Effective Parenting in a Defective World, How to Raise Kids Who Stand Out from the Crowd. That's what we want. It's not easy. Nobody is saying it's easy. Actually, if you have been listening, it's not even easy for the Chip Ingrams, who actually have so much to offer us. Chip, speaking of it not being easy, one of the principles that you talk about raising positive kids is practice what you preach. And you refer to the aspect of your modeling career. That's a tough one, because a lot of parents say, fine for a Chip Ingram, he's in the scripture all the time. You know, we're busting our heads at so many other things, and it's hard. And yet, what you're saying is, no, that's our job, is to model for our kids.
Yeah, I think we've fallen into thinking that if we can get the right information in our kids' head, if we can get them, quote, maybe in the right school, the right Sunday school program, or the right youth group, at the end of the day, and my background long before I went to seminary was in both in education and did graduate and undergraduate work in psychology. And I will tell you, apart from the Bible, the most powerful sociological shaping force on the planet is modeling. Your kids will catch. I mean, if you find little boys and girls and they grow up in the South, they say, Mama. Yeah. And if they grow up in England, they say, hello, Mama. Yeah. And I mean, they catch how you talk. They catch your values. And I tell parents, you can mess up a lot. But your number one thing, if you'll walk with God, whatever you don't like about you that you don't want to get reinvested in the next generation, then get honest and serious with God and say, Lord, help me become the man or the woman you want me to be. And it is hard. But it's also, for me, that was very motivating. I mean, there's sometimes, you know, I wouldn't do it for me, but I thought, you know what, this passive-aggressive tendency I have, I don't want to pass that on. This laziness in this area, I don't want to pass that on. My alcoholic father passed and my wife's alcoholic father passed that produced some of this dysfunction. You know, we got to get that on the table. And so, you know, they're going to drive their car about how you drive your car. They're going to be about as honest as you. They're going to cheat on their taxes like you. They're going to watch the kind of stuff you watch. And so at the end of the day, you have to say, ooh, it's kind of scary. In many ways, they're going to be an awful lot like us.
Yeah, and that is so true. And of course, you just hit home on the driving the car. We were having a conversation about my daughter not driving as well. And my wife looked over at me and she said, well, you know, you have a tendency to do some of those same things. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Her, I had just more or less disciplined her for how she was driving. And I got it. Well, you're exactly right. They watch us. And it's interesting. Even when they're in the teenage years and they are moving from dependence to independence and they're embracing their own lifestyle and they're having to embrace their own faith and own their own faith, pretty much what I'm finding is that the fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree as they grow up, if we're doing it right. And modeling doesn't mean perfect. Modeling means sometimes the best modeling is saying, honey, I'm really sorry. Oh. I blew it, and there you go.
Can I put an exclamation point on that? I think my kids have told me more than anything else, Dad, when you really, really messed up, not that I did it perfectly at all, but when you came and apologized, or my son who went through the rebellion that we talked about earlier, I mean, I got the point, and I don't suggest this, you don't bluff with this kid, he's the hardest kid I've ever met, but we got the point where, son, with this attitude, okay, you're ruining our home. We came to, you can either figure out where to live, find a job, support yourself, or you can have a change of attitude, but this can't go on anymore. I mean, it was destroying our home. And it's almost like he went in his bedroom for 2 days and, you know, hibernated or prayed or I don't know what he did. And, you know, we talked. I remember he looked me in the eye and he literally said, you know, Dad, I like you as a person. And if you weren't a Christian dad, I think I'd really like you. It was just he felt like the restrictions. He was in rebellion. He didn't want the morality of the Christian life.
Sure.
And I'll never forget, he said that, and, you know, I didn't bow up. You couldn't have taken a knife and stabbed it through what was most precious.
Right.
And I wasn't trying to, but we were sitting out in the car outside our house, and the tears just started flowing down my cheeks.
Right.
And I looked at him, and, you know, this is one of my boys that's adopted. Right. And you can't say this to every kid. And I looked at him, I said, son, if I wasn't a Christian dad, you wouldn't have any dad at all. Mm. I got to choose you. I love you. Mm. And no big argument. He went in the house. I went in the house. He came out like 2 days later, and his countenance was different. And, you know, he was a pretty good manipulator, so I thought, you know, he wants to go somewhere, so I'm going to see this for, you know, somewhere from 3 to 7 days. And it was really different. And finally, after about a month, I see this change. I said, Jason, what happened? He said, Dad, he said, you weren't worried about what the church would think. He said, when I hit at the heart, and I know down deep what's right. Down deep, I know I believe in God. He said, it's so real to you, and I've seen it in your mom, your life, and mom's life. He said, the tears coming down your face, the reality of what you were afraid I would miss is what changed my heart.
Right, isn't that amazing?
And, you know, it's really... there is power struggles, but it is the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. And that doesn't mean, I mean, the boundaries, I will tell you, I mean, I was firm. When we set the boundaries, I mean, Teresa said, oh, well, I said, honey, I was pretty daggone consistent, but I was also brokenhearted.
Right.
And he taught me a lot. He's just a neat young guy.
In many ways, what you're talking about, something that you had in your book, where you talk about we have to provide for our kids guardrails of significance and security.
Yep.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, I kept, you know, for me, if you don't keep things simple, I just can't get all these things around my head. So in my mind, I thought of the two questions kids are always asking. Do you love me? And where are the boundaries? Hmm. And so I got to set clear boundaries, and that produces actually security. In fact, especially I see parents when they're young, set those boundaries and enforce them lovingly. And what you'll find is your kids will become very secure. And the other is they need time and eye contact and touching and wrestling and loving and games and interaction. And if you can just keep answering those two questions, because kids, like all human beings, they want to know, I matter, I'm important, I'm significant, and it's safe. And believe it or not, the way they know it's safe is when you say no and you mean it, okay, great. And like my one son said, he told me, he goes, you know what, I don't know, I just wasn't quite sure where those boundaries were, so I kept pushing until I hit a wall. And the wall was me, and it wasn't fun. But I think it's just everyday practical things where you're just, I mean, you know, did we pray around the table every night and have long devotions? No. But did we have devotions? Yeah. But, I mean, it was basketball in the driveway and looking up at the stars and praying. It was, you know, someone getting hurt and stopping and praying. It was the talks, you know, as you walk by the way. And it was focusing on the interior instead of the exterior. Boy, great effort, son, versus you went 3 for 4.
Yeah.
You know, boy, because the outward performance stuff, unconsciously, kids can think, well, I'm only significant when I, you know, my SAT scores are up, I get good grades, I'm the star, I can play music. And that's a challenge in our world, because there's all these other Christian parents that are there. Their kids have ballet lessons, and they're doing piano, and we unconsciously, vicariously want to live through our kids. And we forget it's not about us getting payoff from our kids, We need to shape them to become who God wanted them to be.
Right, and that's our goal, and that's our heart's desire. That's our prayer, and I've got to ask you to come back next time so we can keep talking about this.
I'd love to. Thanks,
Chip Ingram.
And that concludes part one of what will be a two-part conversation here on the Homeward Broadcast featuring parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns and pastor and author Chip Ingram. We're talking about raising positive kids in a negative world, and Chip is the author of a number of different books on a lot of different topics. He does write very well on parenting issues, and he's written a book called Effective Parenting in a Defective World, and it's a book that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. Jim, so many people listen to our program, and I know they're encouraged by you and Kathy, the example that you've set. They say, wow, the Burns daughter have all turned out great, and I want to know, what is it that Jim and Kathy Burns have that we don't have in the parenting season? Take the final moments of our time together and talk about the ways that you and Kathy have made this work.
I think Kathy's in my role, if it's going to be summed up, is summed up in three words. I want to help them find a mission in life. I want to help them find a master, and I want to give them the tools to understand how important it is when they find their mate. Mission, master, and mate. In many ways, what we want to do from the time our kids are little is to help them develop purpose in their life. And again, it can't be our purpose. And right. I can't find the mission for my kids. And my kids right now are kind of in that college season, and they're still trying to find what their purpose is. And from a very early stage, it's important for us to pray for them, and it's important for us to let them be who God created them to be, not who we think that they should be. So the mission part is important. The master part is also important. We get worried about kids' school, and we have them in, you know, all these extra activities and all that, and all that is good and fine. But if our family is not focused on helping them develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, then we're probably not doing our job. Now, here's the deal. You can do that, and your kids can still kind of wander for a while. I would say probably, Roger, and this is very blunt and very honest, but I would say that my children all have, at one time or another, kind of rejected Jim and Kathy's faith so that they could have their own faith.
Right.
And interesting enough, for these kids, the fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree, and you know, it's close. But at times, they didn't like our church, or they didn't like the worship, or they didn't think the sermons were good, or whatever it might be. And we had to learn that, you know what, it's not important that they like what we do. What's important for them is that they find a relationship with their master,
right,
Jesus Christ, and we have to be able to enhance that in any way we can.
That's very healthy, isn't it?
It is very, very healthy. And then lastly is the mate. Now, again, I haven't seen a whole lot of people choosing their children's spouse. We'd all like to. I mean,
of course,
funny.
We would.
And again,
sure,
in other countries, that does happen still to this day. I'm not suggesting that we change that. What I am saying is that it's important for me to help my kids understand, what does it really look like to live in a Christian home, and for Kathy and myself to role model that.
Boy, you've said so many times, Jim, that kids kind of learn what they live, and they watch the example of mom and dad. That speaks volumes to them about parenting issues, about spiritual issues, about sexual purity, the whole gamut. And that's why it's so important for us as parents, if we want to raise positive kids in a negative world, that we have to be that positive influence, not just happy and having fun all the time. But that's why you've written, I know, extensively about this in 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, also Confident Parenting. Those are just two of the many parenting books that Dr. Jim Burns has written. And you can actually purchase directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center today at homeward.com. You can also give a gift online. Our website's absolutely secure. And as we come up here on the end of the year, we appreciate the fact that you are praying for us and supporting us financially. You can also send a gift through the mail when you write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.